Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are talking today about Juneteenth and Father's Day, which happened to fall on tomorrow. Joining us today will be Leonard Rusher, who serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee, Eric Golden-Bogan, a soldier currently serving on the Southwest border, and my husband, Joseph Adams, who stayed home while he was deployed, but also is the father of six. It's a great show. It's great information. And we're so honored to be able to speak to you right before Father's Day and also right before the first time that we've really, truly observed Juneteenth as a federal holiday. It's a show that you don't want to miss, that is filled with information. And so you please stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are talking about Juneteenth and Father's Day. And again, joining us later today on the show will be Leonard Rusher, who serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee, Eric Golden-Bogan, a soldier who's currently serving on the Southwest border. And of course, my husband will be joining us as well to talk about what it means to, you know, he's a veteran, to be a father of six, to have served while I was gone, and just so many other things. It's always fun to have that banter. But before we get into that, I did want to talk about some of the things we have coming up today, coming up tomorrow, actually. And with Father's Day and Juneteenth happen to fall on the same day this year. You know, Father's Day has been a holiday for 40 years, while Juneteenth has only been federally recognized within the last year. And it's been celebrated, however, in many communities throughout the country for over a century and a half. You know, I've known about Juneteenth for several years, and there have been parades and different things have gone on in the Black community. So it's really empowering to be able to see that this is a federal holiday that is recognized, that should be recognized by all, as this day that resulted in the actual freedom of slaves, even though laws had been passed prior to that. And so we'll talk a little bit about that history as we get into this. But I did want to bring your attention to an event that's coming up in Ypsilanti on June 20th. So on Monday, the actual day that many federal and state employees will be observing. Just some information about this, remembering Ypsilanti's African-American Civil War veterans. In 1861, a grateful President Lincoln exclaimed, "Thank God for Michigan," as a regiment composed of brave soldiers from Michigan left for Washington, D.C. This regiment was the first from the Midwest to reach and defend the nation's capital during the Civil War. And then on January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, declaring the freedom of the slaves in rebel territories and permitting African Americans to join the military. 7 months later, the first Michigan Colored Infantry Regiment was created, and they toured Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Jackson, Kalamazoo, Marshall, Cassopolis, and Niles in a successful campaign to recruit additional troops. They fought bravely and valiantly in the battlefield, many of them sacrificing their lives. So Ypsilanti's historic Highland Cemetery is the final resting place for at least 30 African-American Civil War veterans. And so there will be an African-American Civil War Veterans Memorial unveiling celebration on June 20th, Monday, that begins at 2 p.m., followed by a strolling reception with finger foods and light refreshments. And this celebration will be attended by State Representative Ronnie Peterson, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and others, as they honor these Civil War veterans. It's going to take place at Highland Cemetery at 943 North River Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Ample parking is available. Signs will direct you upon arrival. Some walking is required. However, they will have golf carts to shuttle people on the site. There is limited seating provided, but lawn chairs are welcome. The event is free and open to the public, but they do ask that you RSVP to State Representative Ronnie Peterson at 517-373-1771 or Ronnie Peterson at house.mi.gov. So you can find out more information by going to Highland Cemetery website. But I know it's tomorrow, but you can still probably RSVP your attendance so that they know that you'll be coming, and probably bring your lawn chair, as I'm sure all the seating is taken. It'll happen rain or shine. So, you know, this is a great opportunity. And I think it's timely to happen on Juneteenth as we're talking about African-American Civil War veterans. And I will say, you know, find some time to think about what Juneteenth may mean to you or may mean to your neighbor. And when I say your neighbor, it's not necessarily the person that lives next to you, but the person that you have camaraderie with that is representative of this community. Because there are many struggles and many things that occur out in the community that many people still don't feel free to be who they are or to do what's available to them as far as rights. But Juneteenth is a day to celebrate. It's a day to raise awareness. It's like an Independence Day, if you will, for slaves and Blacks back in the day. But for us to remember, because I truly believe when we don't remember history, we're doomed to repeat it. And so we need to remember what happened. That doesn't mean we dwell on it and we remain angry about it or we are vengeful about it, but that we remember so that we don't repeat history. And so I encourage you all to go to the websites and look up the history of Juneteenth, learn more about it, learn more about how you can impact and make an impact in this community. And for those fathers out there, shifting gears a little bit, I just want to say happy Father's Day again. Thank you for showing up and being a part of your children's lives, because that's so, so, so important. You know, we'll be talking a lot about fathers and maybe bringing up some tough conversations, some things that maybe trigger some memories about your time away from your children. And so I encourage you that if you're struggling or just want to talk to somebody, you reach out to the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255, press 1. And if you're in need of resources for you and or your dependents, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. We will be right back on the Veterans Perspective with our first guest. On June 19, 1865, about 2 months after the Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered in Virginia, Gordon Granger, a Union general, arrived in Galveston, Texas, to inform enslaved African Americans of their freedom and that the Civil War had ended. General Granger's announcement put into effect the Emancipation Proclamation, which had been issued more than 2.5 years earlier on January 1, 1863, by President Abraham Lincoln. The holiday is also called Juneteenth Independence Day, Freedom Day, or Emancipation Day. Early celebrations involved prayer and family gatherings and later included annual pilgrimages to Galveston by former enslaved people and their families, according to Juneteenth.com. You know, joining us today to talk about some of the things that is happening in Detroit and Michigan, really, around Juneteenth is retired Lieutenant Colonel Leonard Rush Rusher, who was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. And at the age of 18, he enlisted in the Army, not knowing he would serve for 33 years. On the enlisted side, he held the rank of Staff Sergeant before accepting his commission as a second lieutenant in the field artillery. He's an entrepreneur and assists in running the family business Rush Capital. He is CEO of Rush Investment Unlimited, and in this capacity, he serves as a scholarship consultant. He also serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee as a scholarship advisor. And just fitting for this weekend as well, he's also a father. Welcome to the show, Leonard, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Director Adams. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. So, you know, we're talking about Juneteenth. We're talking about Father's Day. I mean, there's just a lot ingrained in that, but you know, as we talk about Juneteenth and, you know, this historic time for freedom, true freedom of slaves in Texas that kind of has reverberated around the country, can you tell us a little bit about the Juneteenth Education Committee and what you all do there?
Well, the Juneteenth Education Committee, located here in Lansing, is a series of educators and community activists. And what it is that we have been trying to do, and we've been doing it for, I want to say, about a good 15 years, is to provide a local scholarship and also bring awareness to the community about Juneteenth. So long before Juneteenth became a holiday or became very popular, the beginning organizers wanted to make everyone know about what Juneteenth was. And from there, we said, well, let's give out a scholarship. So from there, the scholarship was basically designed on what does Juneteenth mean to you? And so we received different type of essays from the history of it, the meaning of it, what does it mean for you now as have things have changed from 1865 to 2022. And so now the Juneteenth Scholarship Committee has now partnered with Olivet. And so one of the things we do is provide a huge stipend if they want to attend Olivet College, because Olivet is definitely trying to get into the motion of recruiting minorities. And so this is one of the avenues that they're trying to do, which I think is a good process. So that's pretty much what we're doing. Our scholarship ranges from the sixth grade all the way to the 12th grade. So from sixth grade to 11th grade, is definitely maybe a certificate, 10th, 11th monetary awards, and 12th grade is monetary award and different types of monetary scholarships and a big reduction at Olivet and Lansing Community College.
Well, that's great information. It's great what you all are doing as far as scholarships. And we'll talk a little bit about like what those scholarships look like, you know, some of the amounts and you know, how many you've awarded. But, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, but then it took 2 years, you know, more than 2 years, 2.5 years, really, for some folks to actually recognize freedom from slavery. And so it just makes me, it causes me to think about, you know, we talk about like the Civil Rights Act, and we talk about some of these other things that had massive implications nationwide, and how it didn't happen that long ago, you know, the civil rights passage. And so just thinking how long this took to come to passage, and I'm sure that freedom didn't still mean like you can just go do anything for those slaves. You know, what are your thoughts on how we continue to move forward to make sure we're recognizing that just because something's passed like Juneteenth or any of these things, it doesn't mean that the effects are immediate. Like, how do we educate people, or how do we go about making sure people understand?
I believe the best way is never forget and always reiterate. People will always say, you always say, get over it. You know, get over slavery. You can't get over it, or you shouldn't get over it, because if you forget about it, then things tend to turn back to the things the way they were. It's the same thing with 9/11. Even though it happened almost 22 years ago, we can never forget that our shores were invaded. So these type of things, we always must reiterate and keep it within our community, keep it within our family. And by doing that, we will always uphold that tradition, and we will not fall back into those perilous times that had happened before. No, we probably will never fall back into slavery, but we could fall back into another Jim Crow era, or like I said, 9/11, if we don't stay vigilant, you know, those type of things will happen again. So that's how we can maintain what we're doing. Always remember, always keeping those traditions and keeping those type of things alive.
Well, and I think one way we continue to remember Juneteenth and that it took all of this time to get to this place, and so some things are not immediate, is through the things that you're doing with this education committee.
Yes.
And so, you know, how many scholarships have you awarded to date? And, you know, what are those What does that look like? Is it $1,000, $500? Like, what are some of these
scholarships? Oh, well, we've been doing this for the past 15 years. So off just when I came on board, I want to say probably, I'm going to give an estimate number. I would say probably about $7,000 or $8,000, because before it was hard coming up with the money, but now that we're a moving entity, now we have sponsors providing us funding. So a couple of years ago, we're only giving out $100 to the number one winner. Now we're giving out $500 to the number one winner, and we're having a series of winners. Before, we were begging for kids to apply for the scholarship. This year, we had over, I want to say close to 25 applications come in, giving us the opportunity to review. So we know that we're laying a foundation on what Juneteenth is doing for our community.
So where can people find out more information about how to apply? I know the application period is closed for this year, but how to apply, how to donate, how to support, how to be a part of it. Where can they find out more information, Leonard?
The LansingJuneteenthCelebration.org.
LansingJuneteenthCelebration.org.
Yes, all one word. And you will see the entire website on our history, the scholarships, and the upcoming programs that we're getting ready to perform and perform this weekend at St. Joseph Park.
So tomorrow,
which is tomorrow, we're going to have an event there.
All right. Well, you know, thank you so much for joining us today, Leonard. And, you know, if you want to find out more information about some of the resources in your area, you can give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. We thank you for joining us today and thank you for your service. And again, happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me is our next guest, Eric Goldenbogen. He enlisted in the Michigan National Guard in 2006 as an infantryman and deployed with the 120th Infantry Battalion, Ramadi, Iraq, in 2008. He separated briefly from 2011, only to reenlist in 2013 as a mechanic. He is currently serving with the 1775th Military Police Company on the Southwest border. He's married to Michaela, and together they have 3 children. Thank you so much for joining us today, Eric.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I hear you're currently on leave right now.
Yeah, definitely a well-needed leave.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, just talking about, you know, we're talking about Father's Day tomorrow and just thinking about the fact that you've been away from your children. How long were you away before you came home on leave?
It's about 8.5 months at this point.
8.5 months. And how old are your kids?
My oldest is 8. My middle is 6. And my youngest just turned 4 on the 10th.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, you definitely have a house full, and I'm sure you and your wife have your hands full. Can you talk about, I mean, it's Father's Day tomorrow, and we know that mothers and fathers go and are deployed and are away from some time, but, you know, I don't know if we really talk about the struggles and how that shows itself. Can you talk about the difficulty in being away from your family and your children during any deployment?
I mean, it's been a monster of a difference. Like, when I first deployed, obviously, I was single. I didn't have any kids. Now I have kids. And, I mean, every day I wake up with a phone call. Sometimes it's a good one. It's, good morning, Dad. Hi, how are you? And I'm like, oh, great. And then sometimes I'm staring at a kid and I'm looking at him going, what did you just do? Your mom called me for this. So, I mean, it's been a wild difference. And it's been an experience, nonetheless, for me and the kids, because the kids have been used to me going away for AT for 2 weeks, and now Dad's been gone for months and they haven't seen me in so long.
Well, you know, one of the blessings that we have now that, you know, we didn't really have when I was gone for 11 months and 23 days was is video. So that's one of the things I think is probably, I mean, are you able to utilize like FaceTime and those things more frequently? I mean, you know, I'm not sure what your job is right now, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, right now, like thankfully this deployment that I'm on, I have that ability and my phone is readily available to me so I can see my kids and it's easy for them to talk to me. I mean, my youngest has taken it the hardest and being home on leave, he's like lightened up. He's doing all these things. My wife's like, he's really missed you, but like, at least he gets to see me. I mean, there's a few times I felt like I had my phone on and watched him fall asleep because he wanted daddy there to fall asleep. So, I mean, it's been a blessing. And sometimes it feels like a curse to the guy being deployed because I can't answer the phone right away. And I get kids who are mad and I'm like, you can't understand, dad can't answer that phone really quick.
You know, how do you, what things do you find that help you cope with being away? And I use that as an example because I know, when I came home on leave during the time I was gone. And it was kind of, you know, I stepped back in the home and, you know, I'm still mom. So it's like, I have to, you know, if the rooms aren't clean or that this is not, you know, happening, I'm trying to say, hey, get these things together. And they're not trying to hear it because I haven't been gone a while. How do you cope with, you know, being away, but then coming back home and trying to just get back into business as usual?
The biggest thing I do, and I thank my wife for this, she was very like, when I come home, she kind of already understood something was going to change. I stepped back, and honestly, like, I was still playing dad from 2,000 miles away, but when I came home, like, I stepped back, and I watched what my wife was doing, and watched how the kids interacted, and what was going on in the house to figure out where I belonged in the house again, and, like, how I needed to step back in to be dad again, and everything. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm on leave and I'm going to do it all and then I have to leave and I'm going to do it again when I get back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point that you raise, Eric, is that, you know, trying to find where you belong. And I think that, I know that so many soldiers, airmen, you know, Navy, Corps, you know, all of these individuals that come back, they sometimes don't figure that out. They don't figure out where they belong in the household, and that can have some strife. And so the fact that you've figured that out, or at least you have the awareness to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to look and see what's going on with my wife and how she's engaging and then find my place. That's huge. And I think that that's a great takeaway for those listening, that you have to find that time to step back. And I think that that's good for spouses to hear as well, that it's okay for their service member to step back and assess to find out where they belong. You know, what are some cool things that you do while you're away to kind of keep your kids engaged or remind them that, hey, not only, I mean, because they know your dad, but that you're still there with them. What kind of things do you do?
I mean, besides video calling, like we've tried to set up like special calls where they don't understand dad's going to be there right away. Or I'm going to be there. I've definitely had my daughter had her birthday while I was gone and I missed that one sadly. But it's just one of those things where mom reinforces dad's still around. Dad's still a phone call away and dad's still gonna be there if I need to talk to somebody. But I mean, I can't say we really do anything much more than what we can with the time we're allotted. I've actually had them come down to Arizona during Christmas and we got to spend time down there. And let me say, that was just like, my kids like, it's too hot down here, dad. And I'm like, cause we're from Michigan and we're down in Arizona. They're like, it's too hot. I'm like, dad agrees. And my wife's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's too hot.
No snow, right? For Christmas, but let them know we didn't really have snow for Christmas either. So right. Don't have to feel bad. So, you know, finally, you know, while you're home, do you have any fun things planned?
Right. We actually just are gone to Michigan Adventure back here on, it was the 15th, my bad, my days are all mixed up still, being home. We just went to Michigan Adventure and spent some time together. It was a big thing, it's a big hurrah, just for the kids, because there's stuff for them, and there's stuff for dad, and all of our aunts and uncles who are been my wife's friends, who have been helping out while we've been gone, so it was kind of our big hurrah. Other than that, on the 10th, I came home, surprised my son. He was this static little boy in the airport, and my wife has a video of it on her Facebook, and it's the cutest little thing because he didn't recognize me at first. And then we had his birthday on the 11th. So other than that, I'm wrapping it up and getting ready to go back.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to thank you for your service and your sacrifice. I mean, for those who may not, I mean, many of our listeners will understand, but, you know, many people don't realize the sacrifice that not just that we make to sign up and say we're willing to give our lives for our country, but we truly, it's not just our lives, it's our livelihood and our relationships with our families and our children. I mean, these are times that we can't get back. However, I love how you are making sure you're not missing a beat. And so I commend you, and hopefully you're sharing these kind of tips with some of your comrades out there who are serving with you, because it's great what you're doing. So keep up the great work, and thanks for all you're doing for our country and for Michigan as well. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been a delight. And yeah, I've actually talked to a few guys about how to deal with this stuff. And like, it's been bouncing ideas back and forth and conversations that the families don't hear. So.
Yeah. Well, that's important. Continue to stay connected. And, you know, for anyone out there that's listening, and maybe you didn't figure out where you belonged when you came back, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHFIT. That's 1-800-642-4838. We can get you connected to a buddy-to-buddy individual, or, you know, we can even get you connected to the Veterans Crisis Line, or you can call yourself at 1-800-273-8255, press 1. So we want to thank Eric Goldenbogen for his time and for his service and for his sacrifice. And we thank your family as well. And just know that if your family needs anything, they can always give us a call. So thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome.
All right. When we return, we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. We'll be speaking with Joseph Adams. See you after the break.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are talking today about Juneteenth and Father's Day, which happened to fall on tomorrow. Joining us today will be Leonard Rusher, who serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee, Eric Goldenbogen, a soldier currently serving on the Southwest border, and my husband, Joseph Adams, who stayed home while he was deployed, but also is the father of six. It's a great show. It's great information. And we're so honored to be able to speak to you right before Father's Day, and also right before the first time that we've really truly observed Juneteenth as a federal holiday. It's a show that you don't want to miss, that is filled with information. And so you please stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are talking about Juneteenth and Father's Day. And again, joining us later today on the show will be Leonard Rusher, who serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee, Eric Goldenbogen, a soldier who's currently serving on the Southwest border. And of course, my husband will be joining us as well to talk about what it means to, you know, he's a veteran, to be a father of six, to have served while I was gone, and just so many other things. It's always fun to have that banter. But before we get into that, I did want to talk about some of the things we have coming up today, coming up tomorrow, actually. And with Father's Day and Juneteenth happened to fall on the same day this year. You know, Father's Day has been a holiday for 40 years, while Juneteenth has only been federally recognized within the last year. And it's been celebrated, however, in many communities throughout the country for over a century and a half. You know, I've known about Juneteenth for several years, and there have been parades and different things have gone on in the Black community. So it's really empowering to be able to see that this is a federal holiday that is recognized, that should be recognized by all, as this day that resulted in the actual freedom of slaves, even though laws had been passed prior to that. And so we'll talk a little bit about that history as we get into this. But I did want to bring your attention to an event that's coming up in Ypsilanti on June 20th. So on Monday, the actual day that many federal and state employees will be observing. Just some information about this, remembering Ypsilanti's African-American Civil War veterans. In 1861, a grateful President Lincoln exclaimed, "Thank God for Michigan," as a regiment composed of brave soldiers from Michigan left for Washington, D.C. This regiment was the first from the Midwest to reach and defend the nation's capital during the Civil War. And then on January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, declaring the freedom of the slaves in rebel territories and permitting African Americans to join the military. 7 months later, the first Michigan Colored Infantry Regiment was created, and they toured Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, Jackson, Kalamazoo, Marshall, Cassopolis, and Niles in a successful campaign to recruit additional troops. They fought bravely and valiantly in the battlefield, many of them sacrificing their lives. So Ypsilanti's historic Highland Cemetery is the final resting place for at least 30 African-American Civil War veterans. And so there will be an African-American Civil War Veterans Memorial unveiling celebration on June 20th, Monday, that begins at 2 p.m., followed by a strolling reception with finger foods and light refreshments. And this this celebration will be attended by State Representative Ronnie Peterson, Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and others as they honor these Civil War veterans. It's going to take place at Highland Cemetery at 943 North River Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Ample parking is available. Signs will direct you upon arrival. Some walking is required. However, they will have golf carts to shuttle people on the site. There is limited seating provided, but lawn chairs are welcome. The event is free and open to the public, but they do ask that you RSVP to State Representative Ronnie Peterson at 517-373-1771 or Ronnie Peterson at house.mi.gov. So you can find out more information by going to Highland Cemetery website. But I know it's tomorrow, but you can still probably RSVP your attendance so that they know that you'll be coming, and probably bring your lawn chair, as I'm sure all the seating is taken. It'll happen rain or shine. So, you know, this is a great opportunity, and I think it's timely to happen on Juneteenth as we're talking about African-American Civil War veterans. And I will say, you know, find some time to think about what Juneteenth may mean to you or may mean to your neighbor. And when I say your neighbor, it's not necessarily the person that lives next to you, but the person that you have camaraderie with that is representative of this community. Because there are many struggles and many things that occur out in the community that many people still don't feel free to be who they are or to do what's available to them as far as rights. But Juneteenth is a day to celebrate. It's a day to raise awareness. It's like an Independence Day, if you will, for slaves and Blacks back in the day. But for us to remember, because I truly believe when we don't remember history, we're doomed to repeat it. And so we need to remember what happened. That doesn't mean we dwell on it and we remain angry about it or we are vengeful about it, but that we remember so that we don't repeat history. And so I encourage you all to go to the websites and look up the history of Juneteenth, learn more about it, learn more about how you can impact and make an impact in this community. And for those fathers out there, shifting gears a little bit, I just want to say happy Father's Day again. Thank you for showing up and being a part of your children's lives, because that's so, so, so important. You know, we'll be talking a lot about fathers and maybe bringing up some tough conversations, some things that maybe trigger some memories about your time away from your children. And so I encourage you that if you're struggling or just want to talk to somebody, you reach out to the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255, press 1. And if you're in need of resources for you and or your dependents, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. We will be right back on the Veterans Perspective with our first guest. On June 19, 1865, about 2 months after the Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered in Virginia, Gordon Granger, a Union general, arrived in Galveston, Texas, to inform enslaved African Americans of their freedom and that the Civil War had ended. General Granger's announcement put into effect the Emancipation Proclamation, which had been issued more than 2.5 years earlier on January 1, 1863, by President Abraham Lincoln. The holiday is also called Juneteenth Independence Day, Freedom Day, or Emancipation Day. Early celebrations involved prayer and family gatherings and later included annual pilgrimages to Galveston by former enslaved people and their families, according to Juneteenth.com. You know, joining us today to talk about some of the things that is happening in Detroit and Michigan, really, around Juneteenth is retired Lieutenant Colonel Leonard Rush Rusher, who was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. And at the age of 18, he enlisted in the Army, not knowing he would serve for 33 years. On the enlisted side, he held the rank of staff sergeant before accepting his commission as a second lieutenant in the field artillery. He's an entrepreneur and assists in running the family business Rush Capital. He is CEO of Rush Investment Unlimited, and in this capacity, he serves as a scholarship consultant. He also serves on the Juneteenth Education Committee as a scholarship advisor. And just fitting for this weekend as well, he's also a father. Welcome to the show, Leonard, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Director Adams. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. So, you know, we're talking about Juneteenth. We're talking about Father's Day. I mean, there's just a lot ingrained in that. But, you know, as we talk about Juneteenth and, you know, this historic time for freedom, true freedom of slaves in Texas that kind of has reverberated around the country. Can you tell us a little bit about the Juneteenth Education Committee and what you all do there?
Well, the Juneteenth Education Committee, located here in Lansing, is a series of educators and community activists. And what it is that we have been trying to do, and we've been doing it for, I want to say, about a good 15 years, is to provide a local scholarship and also bring awareness to the community about Juneteenth. So long before Juneteenth became a holiday or became very popular, the beginning organizers wanted to make everyone know about what Juneteenth was. And from there, we said, well, let's give out a scholarship. So from there, the scholarship was basically designed on what does Juneteenth mean to you? And so we received different type of essays from the history of it, the meaning of it, what does it mean for you now as have things have changed from 1865 to 2022. And so now the Juneteenth Scholarship Committee has now partnered with Olivet. And so one of the things we do is provide a huge stipend if they want to attend Olivet College, because Olivet is definitely trying to get into the motion of recruiting minorities. And so this is one of the avenues that they're trying to do, which I think is a good process. So that's pretty much what we're doing. Our scholarship ranges from the sixth grade all the way to the 12th grade. So from sixth grade to 11th grade is definitely maybe a certificate, 10th, 11th monetary awards, and 12th grade is monetary award and different types of monetary scholarships and a big reduction at Olivet and Lansing Community College.
Well, that's great information. It's great what you all are doing as far as scholarships. And we'll talk a little bit about like what those scholarships look like, you know, some of the amounts and, you know, how many you've awarded. But, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863. But then it took 2 years, you know, more than 2 years, 2.5 years, really, for some folks to actually recognize freedom from slavery. And so it just makes me, it causes me to think about, you know, we talk about like the Civil Rights Act, and we talk about some of these other things that had massive implications nationwide. and how it, we're not that, it didn't happen that long ago, you know, the civil rights passage. And so just thinking how long this took to come to passage, and I'm sure that freedom didn't still mean like you can just go do anything for those slaves. You know, what are your thoughts on how we continue to move forward to make sure we're recognizing that just because something's passed, like Juneteenth or any of these things, it doesn't mean that the effects are immediate. Like, how do we educate people, or how do we go about making sure people understand?
I believe the best way is never forget and always reiterate. People will always say, you always say, get over it. You know, get over slavery. You can't get over it, or you shouldn't get over it, because if you forget about it, then things tend to will turn back to the things way were, the way they were. It's the same thing with 9/11. Even though it happened almost 22 years ago, we can never forget that our shores were invaded. So these type of things, we always must reiterate and keep it within our community, keep it within our family. And by doing that, we will always uphold that tradition, and we will not fall back into those perilous times that had happened before. You know, we probably will never fall back into slavery, but we could fall back into another Jim Crow era, or like I said, 9/11, if we don't stay vigilant, you know, those type of things will happen again. So that's how we can maintain what we're doing. Always remember, always keeping those traditions and keeping those type of things alive.
Well, and I think one way we continue to remember Juneteenth and that it took all of this time to get to this place, and so some things are not immediate, is through the things that you're doing with this education committee.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, how many scholarships have you awarded to date? And, you know, what does that look like? Is it $1,000, $500? Like, what are some of these scholarships?
Oh, well, we've been doing this for the past 15 years. So when I came on board, I want to say probably, I'm going to give an estimate number. I would say probably about $7,000 or $8,000, because before it was hard coming up with the money, but now that we're a moving entity, now we have sponsors providing us funding. So a couple of years ago, we were only giving out $100 to the number one winner. Now we're giving out $500 to the number one winner, and we're having a series of winners. Before, we were begging for kids to apply for the scholarship. This year, we had over, I want to say close to 25 applications come in, giving us the opportunity to review. So we know that we're laying a foundation on what Juneteenth is doing for our community.
So where can people find out more information about how to apply? I know the application period is closed for this year, but how to apply, how to donate, how to support, how to be a part of it. Where can they find out more information, Leonard?
The Lansing Juneteenth Celebration.org.
LansingJuneteenthCelebration.org.
Yes, all one word. And you will see the entire website on our history, the scholarships, and the upcoming programs that we're getting ready to perform and perform this weekend at St. Joseph Park.
So tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow. We're going to have an event there.
All right. Well, you know, thank you so much for joining us today, Leonard. And, you know, if you want to find out more information about some of the resources in your area, you can give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. We thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your service. And again, happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back on The Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to The Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Sonetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me is our next guest, Eric Goldenbogen. He enlisted in the Michigan National Guard in 2006 as an infantryman and deployed with the 120th Infantry Battalion, Ramadi, Iraq, in 2008. He separated briefly from 2011, only to reenlist in 2013 as a mechanic. He is currently serving with the 1775th Military Police Company on the Southwest border. He's married to Michaela, and together they have three children. Thank you so much for joining us today, Eric.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I hear you're currently on leave right now.
Yeah, definitely well-needed leave.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you know, just talking about, you know, we're talking about Father's Day tomorrow, and just thinking about the fact that you've been away from your children. How long were you away before you came home on leave?
It's about 8.5 months at this point.
8.5 months. And how old are your kids?
My oldest is 8. My middle is 6. And my youngest just turned 4 on the 10th.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, you definitely have a house full, and I'm sure you and your wife have your hands full. Can you talk about, I mean, it's Father's Day tomorrow. And we know that mothers and fathers go and are deployed and are away from some time, but you know, I don't know if we really talk about the struggles and how that shows itself. Can you talk about the difficulty in being away from your family and your children during any deployment?
I mean, it's been a monster of a difference. Like when I first deployed, obviously I was single. I didn't have any kids. Now I have kids. And I mean, every day I wake up with a phone call. Sometimes it's a good one. It's good morning, Dad. Hi, how are you? And I'm like, oh, great. And then sometimes I'm staring at a kid. And I'm looking at him going, what did you just do? Your mom called me for this. So, I mean, it's been a wild difference. And it's been an experience, nonetheless, for me and the kids. Because the kids have been used to me going away for AT for 2 weeks. And now Dad's been gone for months. And they haven't seen me in so long.
Well, you know, one of the blessings that we have now that, you know, we didn't really have when I was gone, I was gone for 11 months and 23 days, is video. So that's one of the things I think is probably, I mean, are you able to utilize like FaceTime and those things more frequently? I mean, you know, I'm not sure what your job is right now, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, right now, like thankfully this deployment that I'm on, I have that ability and my phone is readily available to me so I can see my kids and it's easy for them to talk to me. I mean, my youngest has taken it the hardest. And being home on leave, he's like lightened up. He's doing all these things. My wife's like, he's really missed you, but like, at least he gets to see me. I mean, there's a few times I felt like I had my phone on and watched him fall asleep because he wanted daddy there to fall asleep. So, I mean, it's been a blessing. And sometimes it feels like a curse to the guy being deployed because I can't answer the phone right away. And I get kids that are mad and I'm like, you can't understand, Dad can't answer that phone really quick.
You know, how do you, what things do you find that help you cope with being away? And I use that as an example because I know when I came home on leave during the time I was gone. And it was kind of, you know, I stepped back in the home and, you know, I'm still mom. So it's like, I have to, you know, if the rooms aren't clean or that this is not, you know, happening, I'm trying to say, hey, get these things together. And they're not trying to hear it because I haven't been gone a while. How do you cope with, you know, being away, but then coming back home and trying to just get back into business as usual?
The biggest thing I do, and I thank my wife for this, she was very like, when I come home, she kind of already understood something was going to change. I step back, and honestly, like I was still playing Dad from 2,000 miles away, but when I came home, like I stepped back and I watched what my wife was doing and watched how the kids interacted and what was going on in the house to figure out where I belonged in the house again. And like, how I needed to step back in to be Dad again and everything. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm on leave and I'm going to do it all and then I have to leave and I'm going to do it again when I get back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point that you raise, Eric, is that, you know, trying to find where you belong. And I think that, I know that so many soldiers, airmen, you know, Navy, Corps, you know, all of these individuals that come back, they sometimes don't figure that out. They don't figure out where they belong in the household, and that can have some strife. And so the fact that you've figured that out, or at least you have the awareness to step back and say, you know what, I'm going to look and see what's going on with my wife and how she's engaging, and then find my place. That's huge. And I think that that's a great takeaway for those listening, that you have to find that time to step back. And I think that that's good for spouses to hear as well, that it's okay for their service member to step back and assess to find out where they belong. You know, what are some cool things that you do while you're away to kind of keep your kids engaged, or remind them that, hey, not only, I mean, because they know your dad, but that you're still there with them. What kind of things do you do?
I mean, besides video calling, like we've tried to set up like special calls where they don't understand dad's going to be there right away, or I'm going to be there. I've definitely had my daughter had her birthday while I was gone, and I missed that one, sadly. But it's just one of those things where mom reinforces dad's still around. Dad's still a phone call away, and dad's still going to be there if I need to talk to somebody. But I mean, I can't say we really do anything much more than what we can with the time we're allotted. I've actually had them come down to Arizona during Christmas, and we got to spend time down there. And let me say, that was just like, my kids are like, it's too hot down here, Dad. And I'm like, because we're from Michigan and we're down in Arizona. They're like, it's too hot. I'm like, Dad agrees. And my wife's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's too hot.
No snow, right, for Christmas. But let them know we didn't really have snow for Christmas either. So right. I don't have to feel bad. So, you know, finally, you know, while you're home, do you have any fun things planned?
Right. We actually just are gone to Michigan Adventure back here on, let's see, it was the 8th, sorry, 15th, my bad, my days are all mixed up still, being home. We just went to Michigan Adventure and spent some time together. It was a big thing, it's a big hurrah, just for the kids, because it was, there's stuff for them, and there's stuff for dad, and all of our aunts and uncles who are, been my wife's friends, who have been helping out while we've been gone. So it was kind of our big hurrah. Other than that, on the 10th, I came home, surprised my son. He was this static little boy in the airport, and my wife has a video of it on her Facebook, and it's the cutest little thing because he didn't recognize me at first. And then we had his birthday on the 11th. So other than that, I'm wrapping it up and getting ready to go back.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to thank you for your service and your sacrifice. I mean, for those who may not, I mean, many of our listeners will understand, but, you know, many people don't realize the sacrifice that not just that we make to sign up and say we're willing to give our lives for our country, but we truly, it's not just our lives, it's our livelihood and our relationships with our families and our children. I mean, these are times that we can't get back. However, I love how you are making sure you're not missing a beat. And so I commend you, and hopefully you're sharing these kind of tips with some of your comrades out there who are serving with you, because it's great what you're doing. So keep up the great work, and thanks for all you're doing for our country and for Michigan as well. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's been a delight. And yeah, I've actually talked to a few guys about how to deal with this stuff, and like, it's been bouncing ideas back and forth and conversations that the families don't hear. So
yeah. Well, that's important. Continue to stay connected. And, you know, for anyone out there that's listening, and maybe you didn't figure out where you belonged when you came back, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISFIT. That's 1-800-642-4838. We can get you connected to a buddy to buddy individual, or, you know, we can even get you connected to the Veterans Crisis Line, or you can call yourself at 1-800-273-8255, press 1. So we want to thank Eric Goldenbogen for his time and for his service and for his sacrifice. And we thank your family as well. And just know that if your family needs anything, they can always give us a call. So thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome.
All right. When we return, we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. We'll be speaking with Joseph Adams. See you after the break. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We are joined by our final guest today, which happens to be my husband. Joseph Adams. And, you know, as you all have heard on this show, we share six children together. And, you know, while I was mobilized and even right now while I'm, you know, working this job, he stays home and takes care of the kids. And so would love to have a conversation with him as we are on Father's Day. We're talking about Juneteenth. He's an African-American dad as well. And so just really wanted to bring him on the show to talk about how it was with me being gone and how it is with me being back. Hopefully he keeps it PG and doesn't throw me under the bus here on the radio. But welcome back to the show, Joseph.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we were just talking with the National Guard member who's gone, a male who's gone and deployed, but I really wanted to get a perspective of someone who stayed home while their service member was gone. And so I couldn't think of anyone talking about Father's Day better than you. So I would love to hear your perspective, how it was acting as a single parent. So at the time, we had three children at home. How was that? What was that experience like? I mean, I know we've talked about it somewhat, but I don't know if we've had deep conversations about it. And so what was that like?
I mean, it was eye-opening, as we talked about in the past. It allowed me to see your perspective on watching kids and stuff like that and, you know, what you go through. One of the things that... that it did though was it kind of, for me personally, it kind of made me a better father, because I can sit there and really tell my kids, hey, I was there, you know, I raised you, I potty trained you, etc. You know, they kind of look at me a little sometimes like, oh, whatever, you know, but it made me feel better as a dad. The hardships, there's a lot of them. The hardest one is childcare. I mean, I would try to go out and get a job. Actually, I was doing contracting jobs while you were gone, just to supplement the income. And the hardest part was finding childcare. Because one, I'm not very social like that. And a lot of women are. A lot of women have no problem going out and meeting other women, you know, networking, et cetera. I wasn't really big on that. And that was probably the biggest hardship I had was finding childcare. Other than that though, I mean, it worked out. Do I think most men can do it? No. It's been a bit like, heck no, uh-uh. I mean, and towards the end, I was getting that way, honestly. I was getting there. Because we're just not, most men just aren't built mentally for that, you know, that much dealing with rearing kids, basically. It's just, there's a reason why, you know, when you see divorces and stuff like that, you hear about them, it's like the women always gets the kids and et cetera. It's just, it's not something that, at least I wasn't, you know, really built for the long term. And that was only a year watching those kids. And it was a lot.
Well, and yeah, you had, you know, just for context, you know, before I left, you had a 4-year-old and 2 1-year-olds. And so, and when I came back, you had a 5-year-old and 2 2-year-olds. Yeah. Well, no, they were two. No, they were almost two going. They were almost two when I left and they were 3 when I got back. Yeah. And Elena was 5 going on 6. And so, you know, you had to potty train a set of twins. I mean, this is the first time we had twins. So this is a new experience for you. And you had to potty train twins. And I will never forget some of your stories of one of them just walking around pooping on the floor. I'm glad I didn't have to experience that, but but you did. And so, you know, trying to do something new with two kids at once. And then, you know, the first time, you know, I missed the first day of kindergarten, but you were there and trying to make sure you were getting the kids on the bus. And I won't forget either that my 5-year-old, she would call me and be like, hey, how was school today? She's like, oh, it was great. And she'd whisper, I didn't go to school today. because I'm sure it was a challenge. I mean, you're dealing with being a single parent. being thrown into this kind of at the last minute. And then you have three kids, five and under to boot. Mm. And so I definitely, you know, here on live on radio, thank you for sticking around and not running off and leaving us in a lurch and stepping up and being the dad that you really are. And so, you know, coming back, I think, you know, we were talking about when people come back, and one of the things the last guest mentioned was that he kind of sat back and watched how his wife was doing things, and then he tried to figure out where he belonged. Mm-hmm. I know that's not my character, and so that's not something I did. How difficult was that for you, me coming back and trying to like take over my spot again and, you know, be mom and, you know, seeing the kids really not responding? How difficult was that for you, or was it difficult at all?
I mean, it wasn't difficult, I would say. I was just, you know, man, when you came back, I mean, I think you worked for a little bit, then you lost your job because you had back surgery. You couldn't like sit right or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of appointments, I remember. And so one of the things about kids is this, they sense like weakness, basically, you know, and they exploit it. And so I think when they saw you kind of like, you know, at the time you're like half the woman you were when you left. And so they kind of like, you know, we'll just get over on her. And so, and then also remember when you came back, probably a month or two later, we adopted Ashley. Mm-hmm. Remember? So, I mean, she was what, 13?
12, 13
years old, you know? And so I remember how hard it was watching you struggle, you know, because you would sit there and I never forget, because I would come home from work and it'd be like, dad's home. They run to the thing and you'd be like, oh, you get all the glory, you know, and I get to do all the crap.
Isn't that, you know, such is life?
Yeah. But I just remember that, though. I was like, I'd be all right, you know. And part of me was like, well, hey, you know, I dealt with it too, you know. But yeah, you know, you dealt with it for a little bit and then you recovered, though. You know, remember we came out to Muskegon? Mm-hmm. You got your stuff together. You're just like so determined. And you went back to college. You know, you got your associates, et cetera. I just remember those accomplishments you were doing, because you were just like, I'm not going to be at home staying around with these kids. You know, I want to do stuff in my life, you know, and that sets you apart from basically a lot of women. You know, a lot of women enjoy that role of being a mom, you know, like staying at home and stuff like that. And so, but you always had a purpose, like a drive, you know. And so, and you fast forward now and look at your kids now, you know, they love you, respect you, you know, they talk about you in school. Oh, my mom's online. My mom does this. My mom does that, you know? So yeah, it's like, to me, it's like, I look at it and sometimes I think, you know, wow, you know, you don't see what's on the other side until you really get there. Cause it seems like, you know, oh, what am I doing here? You know, why is she doing this, et cetera. But then you see the accomplishments and stuff like that. And now you're aspiring your kids, you know? And so they have something to look at and aspire for higher, right? You know, my mom did this with the governor's office. My mom did this, you know, as an attorney and stuff like that. And it's going to click with them. It takes time, but it'll click. They'll look back and they'll be like, if she can do it, I can do it type of deal. So.
Well, yeah. You know, honey, I will say that, you know, I love you and I thank you so much for joining us today. I thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey as a parent. Mm-hmm. I want to wish you happy Father's Day for everyone to hear. So,
and thank you.
Thank you. And so, you know, as I tell all of our guests, and I'll tell you again, that if you need any resources, please give us a call at 1-800-MISHFET. That's 1-800-642-4838. Mm-hmm. And if you just need to talk to somebody, you can always call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. That's the Veterans Crisis Line. And, you know, we are so thankful for you being on the show today. We want to say happy Juneteenth and we want to say happy Father's Day. So we'll see you next week on the Veterans Perspective.